Well, I welcome you to the ABCs of Christian Growth again on this recording. This is Brother Thurman, and we will be going back into our study of the Lord Jesus Christ and the letter J, study number 10 that we are on in the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, this is the second recording in under the letter J. And I want to welcome you and thank you for taking the time and to honor the Lord and honor His Word. And you can be assured that the Lord knows exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it right now, and that you're studying His Word on purpose. I enjoy studying along with you, and maybe one day, if the Lord willing, on this side of heaven, that we get to meet one another. But you're my brother and sisters in Christ, and I love you with Christ's love, and I know you the same with me. But last time, just recapping just a little bit, we began talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and decided that we was going to stay in the ABCs of Christian growth with it. But there is so much that we could talk about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should know. But the Bible says that we should drink, that we should partake of milk before we begin to take in the meat. And there is definitely plenty of different kinds of food, spiritual food, to take in with the Lord Jesus Christ, and learning about so many things about Him. And I got a long ways to go. I don't know about you, but I got a long ways to go. But I don't regret anything that I found out about the Lord so far, especially with His person and how He has treated me in the past. He's been very, very kind to me. And I know that if you told the truth and that you was speaking from your heart and your experience with the Lord, that you would say the same. We talked about the Lord Jesus Christ in His perfect, as a perfect man when we began last week. And what we're talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ's humanity. His humanity. Was He a man? We know that He came in the flesh and that He was born of a virgin and that He was a man. But was he a true man? I mean, he was a human being? Yes. Yes, He was a human being. Jesus was with the things that we talked about last week. We said that Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born of a woman. He came from humanity. Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary, as the angel told her. And she said, "Be it unto me as the Lord says." The Holy Ghost came and overshadowed her, and he put God's seed in her womb, and she through her humanity, through her woman, her womanhood, her being a human woman, conceived that seed, God's seed, and began to and had the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ began to grow from conception in that womb, and grew just like a human being would in the womb. And He was born of Mary, born of woman, and He is indeed a human being. Now, we're not denying or saying, we're not talking about Him being God right now. We're going to talk about that as soon as we finish recapping right here and go into how He is God indeed also. What we're specifically, don't get them mixed up, what we're specifically talking about right now is that He was His humanity, Him being a man. Okay, now Mary went under a normal human pregnancy. The Jesus Christ grew like a normal child did. Jesus looked like a typical Jew. Remember, when people looked at Him, they didn't see anything that was comely or attractive, any kind of attractive beauty that the Bible says in Matthew. And these pictures and everything that they got about Jesus Christ now are so far off, it ain't even funny. You know what I've seen today? I found a picture, and it happened to be, I don't read the news, but I scan it every now and then, and I happened to be looking at one. And do you know, over in Israel, I don't know what it is. It's some kind of art thing, but I got pictures of it. I got the pictures because I wanted to prove it to people that somebody over there made a piece of art, and it's as big as a human being, but it's a great big giant cross, or a cross that would hold a human being, probably about the size of the Lord's. And they got Ronald McDonald up on that cross crucified, and him, nails run through his hands, him be looking like Ronald McDonald, and he's hanging there with his ribs showing, and he's dead. And they named him Mac Jesus. That's sick, ain't it? You know, they said that all the Christians over there have been just in an uproar, and I can see that. That's an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His name. And but that's what the world's about. That's the way the world does. And I don't know particularly what it is or who it is that's doing it over there, but they was making all kind of excuses about why they made that piece of art and this, that, and the other, and all this. That's just the way it is. And that's how they see the Lord Jesus Christ. They see Him as a clown. They see Him as a clown. And they put Him up on the cross as Ronald McDonald. They see Him as a clown. You see, but you got to keep in mind, just like David said, David was asking the questions. Remember, why do they get away with this stuff, Lord? Why is all this going on? Why do you allow all this? And he said, but then I remembered their end. And that's what we got to keep in mind, brothers and sisters. This stuff that blasphemes the Lord, and they think they're getting away with it, and they think they're funny, and they think they're clowning around and making all these jokes and everything. They think they're going to get away with it. You know, the Lord's probably got those pictures setting up there somewhere right now that He's going to use later on. And show them up on a great big old, you talk about a big screen. He's going to show everybody's life up there. I don't know what judgment they're going to be at, but the Lord will bring that up. And He'll say, what's with this Mac Jesus thing? I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. But this religious art and portraits of Christ that have a little drop of blood on His hand, a little drop of blood on His other hand, a little drop of blood hanging off of His toe, and a little drop of blood coming off of one little cut from the crown of thorns going down His head with his combed out long blonde hair and effeminate looking self, that's not your Lord. That's not Him at all. That's not even the way the Bible describes Him from a million zillion miles away. That's not Him. That's another Jesus. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. He was a man. Now, He, in His humanity, Jesus wasn't effeminate. He showed he was every bit of male and man, and showed every bit of manhood as a man. And we talked about that Jesus, as a human being, that He got weary and tired, and that He also slept, and that He got hungry, He not only ate for fellowship, we've seen several times, but He also ate because He was hungry, and it was necessary because He had a human body that needed nutrition. And Jesus suffered a painful agony. The Bible says that He was tempted in all things, and that He knew no sin. He never sinned. You see, that's what makes the difference between Him and us. He was 100% human, just like us, but the difference is that Jesus never disobeyed the law, and he never transgressed against his heavenly Father. And he done that because that was going to have to be, because he's God, number one, and he's holy. But it wasn't possible for him he could have sinned, but as we're studying this and his mission down here of what he came here for, it was necessary for him to go to the cross sinless. And, of course, that was the only way the Lord Jesus Christ would have went to the cross or anything else, because he's holy. And we'll get into that when we talk about him in just a minute, as far as him being part of the Godhead. Now, concerning his humanity, you know, there's all kinds of proofs about the Lord's humanity. Jesus was given a human name. 77 times in the Gospels you can read the phrase Son of Man. That proves that he was not only God's son, but that he was a son of a man. He was a son of man in the sense of which a man is born with flesh and blood and body and bones, and who hungers and thirsts and eats and lives and sleeps and dies. A human being. Stephen, just before his death, saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and look what he said. He said, "And I said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now, that when 77 times in the Gospels he's mentioned as the Son of Man. But now, one difference that we need to note is that when we change from the Old Testament salvation over to the New Testament salvation, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ made the change right there in Acts, and the transition took place in Acts to where it switched over from the from the law to grace. Then in comes Paul. And out of all of the books, the 13 epistles that Paul wrote, he never called the Lord the Son of Man. He called him the Son of God. He called him the Son of God then. So so you can see the difference there. When Jesus was here, he was here for the reason of having a body. The Bible says there's no remission without the shedding of blood. Okay, so blood had to be shed, and the Lord Jesus Christ took on a body, a human body that had blood in it, God's blood, and he shed it. He shed it. He shed his blood, and his body was broken open, and he had a human name, talking about the proofs. Jesus had human ancestry. There's two places in the Bible that tell us the history of the Lord Jesus Christ and where he come from, his lineage. And it goes all the way back. One of them goes all the way back to Adam, and I think the other one goes all the way back to Abraham. And it shows his lineage, where he come from human-wise, and one part of it God-wise, the Son of God, all the way back to Adam. Jesus Christ possessed a physical nature. He had to do all the things physically that a human being has to do. Then Jesus Christ was subject to the laws of human development. He couldn't do anything he could have, but he didn't. He grew, and nobody would be so foolish as to think that God grows. He was a man. He was human. Now, what we want to do now is we want to go into the part and just go ahead and leave his humanity. I think we've talked about enough in the scriptures already, and I just added these other things today to Jesus was tempted. Human being, the Jesus's temptations in Matthew 4 showed that he was not merely God manifest in the flesh, but a human being who could be tempted like all humans. You say, well, he used his God powers to keep from sinning. No, he didn't. He relied on God the Holy Ghost that was in him, just like the Lord tells us to do. He was a human being, God in the flesh, did not use his godly powers, except he used his godly powers for others to heal and to cast out devils and order them around and tell them what to do, because he was the Son of God and they knew it. But as far as using his human powers to do that, he didn't. So he relied on the Holy Ghost, just like God commands us to do, to rely on the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost being our comforter and our teacher and helping us. Just the same thing, the same thing. So we see that he was tempted. Jesus was tempted with a human temptation, hunger, and when he answered the devil, he called himself a man. Remember that? The devil told him to turn that stone into bread. And you know what he said? He said, "Man doth not live by bread alone." He called himself a man. You see? So, according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ was a man. And we can believe that. And we don't have to have any more proof. I mean, there's a whole bunch more that we can talk about, just like I said, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ being a man. But the scriptures have already proved to us over and above and over that the Lord was a human being. Now let's switch over and let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Is God. Now, we already know that, and we already believe that because the scriptures tell us that. But let's go down through the scriptures and see what it says. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible teaches us about God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. The Trinity is not a Catholic or a Baptist doctrine or a denominational teaching. It's a doctrinal truth that's found by comparing Scripture with Scripture. We find out that Jesus Christ is God and the second person of the Godhead because we read the Scriptures and the Scriptures say so and they teach us. And that is the basis of our belief. That is, the Bible is our final authority of what we believe. Of what we believe that is and what we believe that is not. Okay? Now, what we're fixing to see in the scriptures is going to deal particularly with the deity of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is a fundamental Bible doctrine. If Jesus wasn't God, then his sacrifice wasn't any good. And everything as far as, and if he wasn't God, he couldn't have resurrected. You know any man that's come out of the grave on his own power? Now, if there's one thing that the unsaved people cannot understand, or can't stand, that is the doctrine of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most fundamental doctrine of all. They can't stand it. They can't stand it that Jesus is God, and they can't trick him. They can't manipulate him. They can't fool him. They can't. He stands back and laughs at some of the silliness. The Lord says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." And I know the Lord does. He sits back and laughs at some of the silliness. He probably laughed at that stupid Mac Jesus. But he's keeping it in the back of his mind, I bet. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as God, in John chapter 1, let's just get into the scriptures and see what the Bible tells us. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Lord, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's the Bible teach in that verse? Who is the Word? And the Word was made flesh. Did you get that? Was made flesh. Jesus Christ, the Word of the living God, was made flesh. and dwelt among us. Who do you know that was made flesh and is called the Word that dwelt among us? Jesus Christ. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, God the Son, full of grace and truth. Now in John 1, so according to that verse, the Word is Jesus Christ, right? Yes. Okay, in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, we just got through saying that Jesus Christ is the Word because of John 1:14. Now, John 1:1 says that the Word was God. So, what does that tell us as just simple believing human being Christians that want to learn the Word of God and want to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ? It tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word, and it tells us that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So did it just tell us or not that Jesus Christ is God? Yes, it did. It just told us. Now let's go a little farther. John 5, chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father." And we know that the Lord said that several times. "But said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." That made them folks, that made them Pharisees so stinking mad when he said that. That was blasphemy to them. They knew him whenever he was a carpenter and a man, a human man walking around. And he told them, he said that God was his Father. So what was Jesus saying? He was saying, God is my Father, and he's the one that I come from him, and that makes me God. You see, making himself equal with God. Now, why did the Jews try to kill him? They tried to kill him because he claimed to be God. He claimed to be from God. They tried to kill him. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't hiding in no corner or trying to trick anybody or deceive anybody. He said it openly and outright and told everybody many times, then unashamedly, that God was his Father and that he was from God. Now in John chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Which hath sent him. Now, how does this verse relate to the Father and the Son? That they are one. That they're the same. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Their family. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God the Bible says that God the Father sent him. Well, the only way that you can be sent is that you're at the place you're sent from. Jesus Christ was in with the Father. And the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, isn't that wonderful? That's great. That's tremendous. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Now let's look at another one. John chapter 10, verse 30. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ just made a very simple statement right there that you can't mistake. You can't mess it up. He said, "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. Jesus said he and his Father was one. Now he's either a liar or he's not a liar. And we know that he's not. And we know that the Bible's true. So if we believe what the Scripture says, is Jesus Christ God according to the Scriptures and his own confession? Yes, he is. He's not only a human being, but he is God himself. Okay, let's look at another one. In John chapter 10, verse 31 through 33, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, 'Many good works I've showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Now how did he blaspheme? And because that thou, being a man, you see how they recognized him? You see what he looked like? They said he was a man. Being a man, makest thyself God. Isn't that great? The Lord said that he was a man, and he did indeed. He indeed was a man, and he also said that he was God. And that's what they accused him of, that he was making himself. He made himself. It said, being a man, makest thyself God. So they understood both ways he was coming from. They understood his humanity, and they understood his deity of what he was claiming to be. But they also seen him as a man. Did you catch that? His humanity and his deity are in that verse. Jesus said he and the Father was one. And the Jews, how'd they interpret that verse? How did the Jews interpret that? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They thought he was blaspheming because they said he was a man. They seen him as a man, but he was calling himself God. He was making himself God. All right, let's look at another one. John chapter 14, verse 9. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, watch it, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Jesus said that when you looked at him, you was looking at God. Isn't that what he said? I'm going to read it again. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? He was reprimanding Philip and teaching him at the same time. But what does the Bible teach? Who do we see when we see Jesus? According to Jesus' own confession, we see the Father. We see the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You can't see God. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The only way that we see God with our eyeballs is that we look at his Son, Jesus Christ, because he is the Father in the flesh. You see how easy that is? That's so easy. Unless you're trying to trick and manipulate the Lord and manipulate the scriptures, then God makes a fool out of you. In John chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas called him a God, called him the God, called him his God. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is deity. That he is indeed the Father in the flesh. He is God in a human body. And we can believe that. And we can believe that and stake our souls on it. That the Bible is true that Jesus Christ is God. He was a human being. He was part of humanity. But he was also God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Now, let's look at another one. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus was talking to Thomas, and Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God, did Jesus rebuke Thomas for calling him that? No, he didn't. He didn't. He allowed Thomas to worship him. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, and I agree with him, that if Jesus wasn't God and he let people worship him, then he was one of the biggest con artists in the world, and a self-centered, selfish, idiot. And we know that the Lord wasn't that the Lord was real, and that the Lord is God, and that when he was in the flesh on this earth, that he was God in the flesh. And he took that worship because he was worthy of it. Remember Mary when she was sitting at his feet? And Martha said something about her getting up and coming to help her wait the tables and serve everybody. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're just so busy about everything. It said, but Mary has chosen the better thing, and I'm not going to take it from her. She chose to sit at my feet and learn and the kingdom of God and to worship me, and I'm going to let her because that's more important. Now, if Jesus wasn't God and he was doing that in front of all them people and everything else, he was the biggest con artist in the world. But he was God, and he is God, and he deserved the worship because God should be worshipped by us because he's God. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at another one. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now this is the Father speaking of the Son. He said, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. The Father was calling the Son God. Did you see that? Is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Amen. Amen. If God says that Jesus Christ is God, we can believe that, can't we? Yes, we can, and we will. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. That's what we want to know, is the truth, right? That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Did you get that? Wow. And we know that the Son of God has come. Do you believe that? I do. I know he's come, and don't you? He's already shown me that. He showed me that. I seen the scriptures and he showed me in my heart. I believe him. And he says, and hath given us an understanding. That's what he's doing right now too, ain't it? That we may know him that is true. I love that part about the true. I need truth, don't you? There's so much deceit in this world and lies in this world. And the Bible says our habitation's in the midst of deceit. There's deceit all around us. You can't tell what the truth is without the Word of God. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The Bible says that when you're in Jesus Christ, the Son, Jesus Christ, he is the one that is true, and that he is the true God, not Muhammad, not Buddha's God, not all the rest of these stinking gods that are around that claim to be God and claim to be deity, but they can't even get out of the grave. We're talking about the true God. The true God, the one that the Bible talks about. And eternal life, the Bible says. If you're trusting in Allah, or you're trusting in Muhammad, you're trusting in any of them other so-called gods, and you can get mad if you want to, but if you go into eternity trusting the wrong God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you're a believer and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know in your heart that he is the true God and eternal life. He's already proven that to you, and he is verifying it every day of your life and teaching you about himself, isn't he? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Now, in Titus, excuse me, in that last verse we just read, who was given the title, O God? Who was given the title? In Hebrews chapter 1 it says, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God. Jesus was given the title of O God, wasn't he? Yep. The Son was given the title of O God. Now in 1 John chapter 5 verse 20 the Bible says this, And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him. That's the Son. That's O God. That's the Son. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God. The Bible says so. And we've read 15 scriptures already that have said the same thing. Why would we question that? If we believe it, either all of the Bible is true or none of it's true. God doesn't operate in partiality and nitpicking. God's not ashamed of his word. He gave it to us, and he gave us everything that we need in his word to study, and it's exactly what it says it is. It's pure. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, either he's lying or he's not. But he's taught me and kept me safe with the Word of God. He's shown me what the Word of God is, and he's protected me and kept me from having to go off and all these other whatever they are. And he's shown me what the Word of God is, and the Holy Ghost, he bears witness of the Word of God with me. Doesn't he, you? The Holy Ghost bears witness with his Word. He don't bear witness with false gods and false Bibles and false everything else. The Bible says that the devil has a Jesus, has a Bible, has other gods. But the Holy Ghost doesn't bear witness with them. He bears witness with the truth. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ being God. Now, I'm just going to give you this. I ain't going to make a big deal about it, even though it is a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, you check them other, the ASV, the NASV, the NIV, and all of them, you check them, or you check it for yourself. They attack the deity of Jesus Christ. They do. They take the words out of the Bible and add to those books to make the reader not recognize the deity of Jesus Christ. I count that as the enemy, don't you? Anybody that tries to talk me out of my Savior and tries to tell me that my Savior is not God is taking my salvation away from me and taking my Savior away from me and taking my strength away from me, because I depend on him. Don't you? I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Now let's look at some more. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Is God. In Titus chapter 1 verse 3 the Bible says, But hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, Titus said that God was our Savior. Who's your Savior? Jesus Christ is your Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior if you've trusted him. Titus chapter 1, verse 4, the verse right after that says, To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Did you get that? Titus 1:3 says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So the God our Savior commanded Titus to preach the word and committed it unto him. Okay, who was God our Savior according to Titus? Titus 1:4 says, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." Don't you love it? I love how God's Word, you take your hands and hold your palms together and then take your fingers and just intertwine them with one another and just close them up real. That's how the Word of God is. And when you rightly divide it, that's how, and when you're reading it, that's how the Holy Ghost does it for you. He'll say, okay, come over here. Okay, come over here. Come over here. I want to show you this. Come over here. And you're going, And the Word of God just comes together just like that. Just so sweet. So sweet. And you know, the Lord, that's the way the Lord is. There's no confusion in the Lord. The Lord, the Bible says the simplicity of Christ. The Lord's intention is never to confuse us when our hearts are sincere and seeking His Word and seeking the truth. The Lord He wants everybody to know His Word, but He wants sincerity and truth. And he ain't going to be manipulated, and he ain't going to be made to look like a fool. He'll turn that right back into somebody else's face, whoever's doing it, whether they're doing it for money or they're doing it for pride or doing it for lordship and lording over God's people or whatever they're doing it for or whatever. But if you're sincere and you want to learn the Word of God, and you go to the Scriptures and just learn what the Scripture says, A, B, C's, and just learn what the Scripture says, it is so plain and simple and understandable, and it just puts your heart at peace, and it helps you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ... Do we have any problem believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is a human being? I don't. I believe it because that's what the book says. And it says it over and over and over and over, and it never contradicted itself. And I also see to where the Lord Jesus Christ is God. How do I see that? I see that because we've been reading for the past 30 minutes the Scriptures. You ain't been listening to me yap about what I think. I've been reading the Scriptures to you. And I think the Bible's already proven that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that Jesus Christ is God our Savior. And that the Bible has already told us that Jesus Christ is God. I think it's wonderful. Let me share one more thing with you. And then we'll stop. Now, there's two scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 3. I want to read those to you, and I want to ask you a question, and here's the question. What is the inescapable conclusion concerning Jesus Christ? Now, when I read these verses to you, I want you to answer that question in your heart according to what the Scriptures say, okay? What is the inescapable conclusion concerning Jesus Christ? About these verses. Here's the first one, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first verse. Second verse, John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who's the second verse talking about? Jesus Christ. Who's the first verse talking about? God. What does the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What's the inescapable conclusion concerning Jesus Christ? He's God. Isn't that wonderful? We already knew that before we started and believed that before we started, didn't we? But it's wonderful that our God has given us a document and a book that we can read and be comforted by and know what the truth is and know what faults and deceit and lies are. And that's what we need to be interested in these last days, brothers and sisters, is what's the truth? What's the truth? Because if you don't find out what the truth is, you'll have to believe a lie. Because there's only one or the other. It's only true or false. There's no in between. I know the world's trying to teach that, but it's not true. It can't be. Either something is true or it is a lie. And if you do not find out what the truth is and believe the truth on purpose, and why you believe the truth on purpose, and have power backing up your truth, which we do, we have a written document from God that says it's true. If you don't believe the truth on purpose, then you'll have to accept a lie. And we don't want to believe lies. Amen? Amen. Let me give you these scriptures for today. You ready? First one is John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 5, verse 18. John chapter 5, verse 23. John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 31 through 33. John chapter 14, verse 9. John chapter 20, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And John chapter 1, verse 3. Amen. All right, so what have we learned today? We've learned that Jesus Christ is God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is not half God and half human. He is 100% human being, and he in his humanity, and he is 100% God. God. He is deity. He is God. Amen. I'm glad that we have a God that's alive and that has the power to back up what he says. Aren't you? Amen. All right. Well, on the next recording, we'll talk about the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. What's the scripture say about that? Does the scripture say that Jesus was born of a virgin woman that had not known a man and not had any kind of relations with a man? Do you know any virgins that have babies today? It's not possible, is it? So there has to be something going on there. So let's look into the scriptures and find out and see what the scriptures say. And if they say it, we believe it. Okay? And we'll talk about that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Then we'll go into talking about his death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what the scriptures has to say about that, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll talk about the ascension, and we'll talk about his return. And that kind of brings us simply through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in an ABC manner. There's, like I said, there's lots and lots more that we can learn, but we're going to go through it and get an ABC understanding of the Word of God. And you never go wrong going back to the ABCs, because that's what we learn first, right? Amen. There's a little girl one time that asked her daddy, that was a preacher, and said, "Daddy, what are you going to do after you preach all the messages in the Bible?" He didn't know how to answer that one. Kids ask some hard questions sometimes, don't they? Amen. All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening. I'm going to think of something else to say, evening, morning, or something. But enjoy your day, and the Lord bless you, and give to you, and may he reward you for honoring his word and studying the truth. Until the next recording, bye-bye.